You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Inside the War Room, presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Dante Saray. How you boys doing? We're back on our Sunday evening. How you boys doing?
Doing pretty good. We got a birthday today. Today's Saray's birthday.
It is 24 years old.
Are we singing?
Appreciate it. Are we singing?
Are we singing?
No, we're
not singing. Okay.
We're not singing. I refuse to sing on the podcast. That is a new rule.
We will lose all listeners if that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we could be on Apple Music. We're already on Apple Podcasts. Might as well be on Apple Music, right?
Does anyone use Apple Music? Real talk?
I don't use Apple Music. I use Spotify.
Use okay. Apple Music, Saray?
Why do you not use Apple Music is the real question.
It's because Spotify is superior in every way.
How? Please explain.
What do you mean, how?
I
there's not an answer. I'm waiting.
I don't think there's any advantage of either one.
I don't know. I've never used Apple Music, so I don't even know.
You guys have iPhones and you don't use Apple Music.
I've never opened the app in my life.
Well, the one
I don't even know where it is on my phone.
That's
I couldn't
amazing.
Find it. I'd have to search it.
Wow.
The one pro of Spotify is you get free Hulu, which is pretty sweet.
That is true.
Really?
I do get free Hulu. Yeah.
Yes.
Like live TV or just like the actual just Hulu just like with shows streaming. And stuff.
Yeah, like the streaming. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I already have like Hulu live TV, so then
oh, okay, Flex. Yeah, sorry, Mr. Big Shot.
See, so yeah, what you're doing though, and we use our student discount, which ends up being only like $5. Or
I use my student discount for Apple too.
Yeah, but you are paying for a separate Hulu, and you're paying for a separate music site. Where I'm only paying for music and Hulu for $5 a month. You're paying for two separate things.
I don't have
cable ripped off right now.
But I don't have cable, so the Hulu Live TV makes up for me not having cable, and I still get to pay like $5 a month.
Dude,
or $4
Tyler
a month
and I don't pay our cable bills.
I don't pay my cable bills.
I still have cable either. What?
Oh man, I can't win. All right, whatever.
Yeah, it seems like you're 0-1 on debates already. We haven't even started talking about football.
Oh, you know, before we get into the show and what we're going to be talking about, Saray actually asked for a win because it's his birthday today.
I was joking, and you're going to say that on the podcast.
So right, I'm going to expose right, him right now. Right, but
geez, that's rough.
There's something I do have to mention is the NFL Draft Bible. They started a new Discord channel. It is open for everybody. We are talking all NFL draft, fantasy football, and even video games. So go check that out. The link to join is in our show description. So go definitely check that out. And if you guys don't mind, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever the hell you guys are listening to this. If you guys are listening on Apple Music, which you can't, but leave a 5-star review. All right, now let's get into our show. We got two topics today, like always. So we got our topic today. One is our dueling mock draft. We're going to pick number 6, the Philadelphia Eagles. That'll be Saray and Dante. And then later on the show, we're going to talk about some free agency because free agency is coming up very soon. So we're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers and what they should do with Aaron Jones. But before we do that, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to kick it off to the birthday boy, Saray. With the 6th pick in the NFL draft, who you got the Eagles taking here?
Dante always tells me, don't let good players prevent you from drafting great players. And I don't think Jalen Hurts is a good player. It's a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take. I went with Justin Fields, dude, quarterback Ohio State, mock draft machine. I got lucky. Is there anything that you guys seen from Hurts last year that like makes you think he's like a starting quarterback? No.
No.
Not really. Okay. So you probably like win games with him, but I don't think you're ever gonna
but to get your franchise over the hump.
Yeah.
Probably not, right? I think Fields is that player. I think Fields can put the team on his back. I think he can get the team going in the right direction that they thought they were going when they drafted Wentz a while ago. So Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Yeah, I understand. Very good pick. And we'll talk about that when we get closer to the evaluation, but do not mind that pick. All right, Dante, who do you got here?
Yeah, I actually made the same pick. I got Justin Fields at 6 to the Eagles. Saray did a good job kind of talking about why maybe we don't believe in Jalen Hurts. And, you know, to some of the Eagles fans who I have a lot of friends who are Eagles fans because I live in Philadelphia. A lot of people are telling me, oh, they're not going to draft a quarterback. Guys, this is the same front office that drafted Jalen Hurts in the 2nd round when Carson Wentz was still like good kind of. So I don't think it's No, we're not
you
doing this.
You had a harping on me.
That was a bad choice of words, Dante. Bad
you just said Carson Wentz was not good since 2017.
No, I didn't say that. I said he was like uneven, which is accurate. I said kind of good. I said kind of good. He was kind of good in 2019. He had a good second half of the season. He got them to the playoffs.
You know what? Continue. I'm not.
They won a bad division. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this.
All right. All right. Well, anyway, back to the Eagles taking a quarterback at six. I just think that this needs to be the direction that they go in. Jalen Hurts, I mean, I don't think he was a very good prospect coming out of Oklahoma. I think you've got major processing concerns. We've seen quarterbacks come in and be able to win early with their legs. And then typically in year two or at the back end of that year two or early in year three, once defenses start to figure out that, you know, they're just an athlete, their production starts to drop off. You know, the only guy we've really seen kind of, get rid of that stigma is Lamar Jackson, which is another debate that we had on this show. But Jackson's been able to get to the Ravens to the playoffs a couple times. I don't think Jalen Hurts is even as good as Lamar Jackson. So I don't think that, you know, again, I don't think that Hurts is even going to reach that plateau. And there are people on this show who do not think Lamar Jackson is all that. So that should tell you what we think of Jalen Hurts is the point I'm trying to make here. So I think Justin Fields is an easy pick. We've talked about him being QB2 a couple of times. People really need to stop the slander. We got NFL.com former GMs mocking him at 24 to the Steelers. Just absolutely breaking my brain. So Justin Fields, the pick at six.
Okay. Yeah, Dante, and just in one statement about Justin Fields, brought up two of our debates, and oh, I was cringing.
I'm stirring the pot.
Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz. Oh my God! All right, let's go to pick number 37. Saray, who do you got Philly? Who do you got Philly taking here?
This was kind of a tough pick. It came down a linebacker. It came down a receiver. Me and Dante were talking about this pre-show. I went with Rondale Moore, 37, Purdue. Hear me out, man. Receiver board, it wasn't the greatest at this pick. We know how deep the class is. I've been seeing some videos of him, his vertical. Dude, we knew he was a freak athlete, right? So he's healthy. He's going to be in an offense with the Eagles there. They're going to get him manufactured touches, just get the football in his hands, right? If Jalen Reagor can come back healthy, they just recently cut DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. Finally, neither one have been not good for a very long time. You got to start to remake the receiver room a little bit. So why not go with a player who can play a multiple versatile roles on the offense, dude? He showed that he can manufacture touches, jet sweeps, bubbles, screens. Purdue did a fantastic job just getting the football in his hands. You just got to get athletes the football, man. So we talked about it. I don't think he's the greatest route runner. I don't think he's the most technical route runner, but I do think he can run routes on all three levels of the field. He's very, very fast, dude, so we know he can create separation at the NFL level. And again, he's finally healthy. Man, I know it's not, you know, great to harp on the workout videos, but I don't know if you guys seen that dude's vertical, man. Like, he's a small dude. I know he squats a ton. Like, he's freakishly athletic for a man of his size. So not only can you help Justin Fields become, you know, he can become an easy target for Justin Fields in the short areas of the field, right? I think this would be huge for the Eagles. So Rondale Moore, the pick was at 37.
Fair enough. I think with Rondale Moore, it's one of those guys who has so much talent, and you could make an argument could be a first-round pick without the injuries. I mean, he's one of the top receivers, but that's always going to be a concern with Rondale Moore. But at 37, risky pick, but don't hate the pick. So we'll get into that when we get to the final.
He was Dante's wide receiver one in the summer.
No, I mean, he's very good. He's very talented. He's very good. And he deserves the talk. It's just like injuries have to come in concern as well, especially because we've seen – I'll bring up a Lions reference, a guy who was really good in college, Kerryon Johnson. I mean, those injuries have caught up to him in the NFL. It's just, it happens, you know, when you have an injury history from college and going to the pros, sometimes can catch up with you. But enough about Rondale Moore. Dante, who do you got here?
Yeah, one more thing about Rondale Moore. Have you guys seen the picture of him that they just posted where he's like jacked? Like, it looks like he's put on like 20 pounds of muscle. The dude looks amazing. If you haven't, just go look it up on Twitter now. It's amazing. But yeah, Rondale Moore was wide receiver one for me over the summer. So great pick by Saray. I went with another one of my guys here at 37. I went with Asante Samuel Jr., the cornerback from Florida State. I think if you're the Eagles, you desperately need to get more talent in that secondary. Darius Slay is a good football player, but you know, he's approaching the wrong side of 30 for a cornerback. You're paying him a lot of money, and you don't really have anyone else in that secondary that I think is reliable enough. Avante Maddox, not going to get the job done. Roby Coleman was like passable, maybe in the slot. Your safeties aren't too great either. If you're the Eagles, you need to get talent in that secondary. And I think you get a player in Asante Samuel Jr. who, coming into a new scheme, I think he can play outside, given if they run the same scheme that the Colts run, they don't mind having smaller corners playing in their cover three heavy stuff. And I think that's exactly where Asante Samuel Jr. should be at the next level, where he can play off and kind of break on the ball. He's got really, really good eyes, really, really good quickness. He's a twitchy player at the top. If you keep him out of press, he's not going to get bullied as much. So you might be able to live with him on the outside. If not, you put him in the slot. Man, the Eagles got killed by slot receivers last year, and I think they need to cover that anyway. So for me, Asante Samuel Jr. provides positional versatility in the secondary for a team like the Eagles if they do run the same defense that the Colts ran. Now with Nick Sirianni at head coach, he's brought on a couple of Colts coordinators to run those systems in Philly. So for me, this was an easy pick. The Eagles need a cornerback big time. Asante Samuel Jr., I think, is really an underrated player. He's going to be a top 40 player for me in this draft, so getting him at 37 feels good. Also, his dad played for the Eagles for quite a long time and was pretty good in Philly. So, you know, you got that connection as well. I feel pretty good about this one.
Okay. I like both the picks so far. It's going to be interesting to decide when we get to that. But Philly has two third-round picks after making that trade with Carson Wentz. So they got an extra third-round pick from the Colts, but this is their own pick, that pick number 70. Saray, what do you got here for the Philly?
This is in my draft. Kind of went off the rails a little bit. I still think it's a good pick. I think it's good value. This is a guy who was going to be a first-round pick, assuming he didn't get hurt. It feels a huge need because we have talked about pre-show, the Eagles linebackers are horrible. They stink. He's got to get talent in the building. So I went with Dylan Moses, linebacker at Alabama. Hear me out. We know how good of a football player he was pre-injury, and it's been reported that last year he just wasn't healthy, right? He just didn't play at 100%. And it's not to make an excuse for how bad he was in pass coverage, right? But I still think he is a very good tackler. I think he's a very instinctive and smart football player. He just was hurt. And I think that, man, if we can get him back to the healthy Dylan Moses that we know, the freak athlete Dylan Moses that we know, the fast Dylan Moses that we know, he's an immediate upgrade for the Eagles. Like, there's no way you can sit here and continue to put Nathan Gary out there in open space and cover linebackers, running backs, tight ends. They're just not good, right? And you just have to find an improvement here, like, seriously. So, like, almost any linebacker that I like would have been a good pick here, but I'm going with Moses, man. It brings you speed to the second level of defense in which they lack, right? A leader, very competitive, tough player. So that was my pick, and I really think the Eagles, I like the pick, man. I know he wasn't, you know, it's kind of hard to talk so much positive about Moses after the year he just had, but I think he's an immediate upgrade for the Eagles.
Saray is going a risky route right now. I mean, he's getting some guys with some injury history. I mean, but these guys do also have some very high booms. So getting Dylan Moses at pick 70 could look like a very much of a steal down the line if he lives up to that potential. But then on the other side of the story, Moses could be hurt and he never lives up to the potential. And then maybe it just looks like a lost cause at that point. But all right. I mean, this is a risky draft, but I kind of like it, you know? So Dante, who do you got here at pick 70?
Yeah, I went receiver with this pick. I went with USC receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think getting him here is really, really good value. I think he could be a top 50 pick in April. Just a really good athlete in the slot. Doesn't run a ton of routes, but the routes that he does run are incredibly polished. Really, really good footwork, short area quickness. His hips are smooth. He can sink and break really well. Really good hands. Proved he could be a vertical threat as well. I think he's faster than, you know, some other slot receivers in this class. I think he can track the ball deep. For me, this would be getting Justin Fields, kind of a Chris Olave type player. Obviously, Chris Olave went back to school, the Ohio State receiver. He might have been a first round pick. But this is kind of getting Fields a similar type target, a slot vertical threat, a smaller player who's a really, really good route runner. I think St. Brown and Olave are different players, but they can serve similar roles. And getting St. Brown here for me was an easy pick. The Eagles, I don't think they can afford to be picky at receiver. They missed on a couple of guys last year. At least it seems like they're misses right now. They missed on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the second round. Like, they need to get a hit. They need to get a guy in the building who's going to be a high volume target, especially if they go the route that Saray and I went and take a quarterback at six. So getting a player like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who, look, he's going to separate, he's going to convert third downs, he's going to help you move the sticks, and once in a while he'll be good for a big play. I think you can incorporate him and Jalen Reagor into the offense, kind of this, you know, spread concept offense with bringing Justin Fields in. And, you know, you give him two easy targets underneath, that can be the best thing for a rookie quarterback. You still have Dallas Goedert in the building at tight end. So I think the Eagles, you know, room will look pretty nice with this haul. And Amon-Ra St. Brown was a no-brainer here.
Okay. This is getting interesting. This is very close right now. I mean, we still got another pick, so we'll see a random deciding here. But Saray, pick number 85. This was, like I said, the Colts' former pick from the Carson Wentz trade. So, Saray, who do you got here at 85?
You guys remembered last season. The Colts' scheme basically, like, reignited. Is that even a word? Reignited. I think that's a word. Yes.
Sounds like
reignited. It. Exactly. Reignited Xavier Rhodes' career, right? Like, he was bad last year in Minnesota, and he looked better.
Roads were open. That was the term.
It was. And last year, he improved a lot. I'm not going to sit there and say he was like some great top 10 corner, because I wouldn't go that far, but he looked better in the cover three off-man scheme that allowed him to really show that he has some football left. And I went with Tyson Campbell, cornerback out of Georgia. I think this is a home run pick. I like Campbell a lot, right? This is a player who is physical. He's athletic. He's got good size, good short area quickness. He's really good in man coverage. We talked about the whole catch point stuff last episode, but stuff that you can clean up. I think he's going to thrive in off man, right, which is something that the Colts, you know, Nick Sirianni is going to ask him maybe to do that in Philly. I really like Campbell, dude. He's a good athlete, and you're going into a situation where you don't have to be a corner one right away. You still have Slay, you still have Roby Coleman. Dante did take Asante Samuel earlier, but I do have concerns about him playing on the outside, although their scheme, you know, does take smaller corners. I don't know, man. I really like Campbell, dude. He's a freak athlete, dude. And I just think you just need to get more talent in the room and get younger, right? So that's why I went to Campbell out of Georgia. We talked about, you know, his inconsistencies in zone coverage. Again, this is stuff that you can teach, man. You can teach smarts, right? That's just turning on the tape and just teaching the young corner where he needs to be and why he needs to be there. So I went with Campbell. You can, like Dante said, Slay's getting older. I don't think, again, he doesn't have to be a corner one right away. So Slay can do a few more seasons. And if this pick hits, right, you can possibly move on from Slay and you can have Campbell as your right receiver, corner one. So that was my pick, Tyson Campbell, cornerback out of Georgia.
Okay. I mean, I'm just like looking at this Eagles depth chart and I'm like, dude, I mean, I can make an argument for any position, I think, on this team right now. Like, there's not one position where it's like, oh, okay, we have this guy. We don't need to draft a guy at this position. Like, you could look at this depth chart and you could literally take anybody at any position and it'd be a fine pick, in my opinion. Or like just taking best player available. But Dante, pick 85, what do you got here?
Man, first of all, I got to get me a girl who loves me like Saray loves Tyson Campbell. My God, it's like the third time you've drafted him on this show, man.
I'm high on him. I'm high on him.
All right, I respect it, man. He's fun. Yeah, so I went linebacker here. You look at the Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles depth chart, I got Nate Gary, Davion Taylor, Sean Bradley, and the Alex Singleton at linebacker.
Dante, not to cut you off, but yeah. What is your comparison of what Nathaniel Gary cannot guard?
A statue. He couldn't guard a statue in space. My man has cinder
concrete
blocks tied to his ankles.
Concrete is better in coverage than...
Yeah,
than
no, look, man. Nate, look, if you're listening to the show,
no disrespect to Nathaniel Gary.
Yeah, this isn't personal, my guy, but like, you got to get replaced. So I replaced you with Chaz Surratt, the linebacker out of North Carolina, fell here into the 80s. I think you get a player who probably not as good as Darius Leonard for the Colts defense, but in that mold of player, superior athlete, really, really long, fast, getting sideline to sideline. He's going to wreck stuff up in the middle, man. Really good in pass coverage. Thought he showed his chops in man this year. Had a couple PBUs this year that I thought were really impressive, showed he could close down routes. Surratt was a player I was really high on over the summer, and I was probably a little bit too high on him, but getting him here at the back end of round three, I think is just an absolute steal. You get a player to come in who's going to be fast, instinctive in the middle. You know, maybe he'll miss a run fit here or there, but, you know, let's be honest, linebackers in coverage now, that's where they need to be the most effective, and I think Surratt gives you that. He can help clean up the work done on the defensive line as well. The Eagles have a really good defensive line, and they'll keep him clean, allowing him to get into the backfield. I think this is a perfect fit at position of need. The other thing I would say too is that, like, the Eagles just don't like to draft linebackers high, at least under Howie Roseman. That hasn't been you know, their MO, which is why I didn't draft a linebacker higher. I actually, you know, like Tyler said, I agree, right? Like, you could look at this depth chart and be like, man, there is not a single spot on this team that I feel good about. But I think linebacker is probably the position I feel the worst about. I think the Eagles linebackers maybe like definitely a you know, bottom three unit in the league at best. So I think getting Sarat in there to add speed, physicality, length, athleticism, man, if this Colts staff can do what they, half of what they did to Darius Leonard, which has Sarat, he's going to be a really, really good starting linebacker. And I think getting that at 80 is a good pick.
I just liked how we're hyping up the Colts staff like I was last week. But let's get a quick recap.
Oh, my there God. There he goes,
man. Oh, wait, my
you're
goodness.
Never going to let this go.
He won't. He will not let it go.
I'm almost like a basement Colts fan at this point. Like, I like the Colts so much. I love the way they build their team. And the Lions were in search of a GM this year, too. And Ed Dodds was one of the candidates he took for the Lions job. I'm like, oh, my God. I was getting excited if we got Ed Dodds. But Saray, let's get a quick recap from your three-round mock draft for the Eagles.
So Justin Fields at 6. We talked about the needed upgraded quarterback. Rondale Moore at 37, you know, rebuild and retool the receiver room. Dylan Moses may be a risky pick, but I think, again, we just talked about how poor the linebacker plays in Philly. I think this is, you know, an area you can start taking, you know, some swings at the bat here at linebacker. And to round it off, Tyson Campbell, my first love, cornerback from Georgia.
Okay, Dante, let's get a quick recap.
Yeah, so I just took Justin Fields, quarterback Ohio State at 6. My second pick, Asante Samuel Jr., the cornerback from Florida State. And then my third pick was Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver from USC. And last, I got Chaz Surratt, the linebacker from North Carolina. The one thing I'll say is I think I got better valuation with corner where I took Samuel and where I took linebacker with Surratt. Also, none of my players have bad injury history. So that is my argument.
Yeah, I mean, this is a close one. I really like both of these a lot. And I think Philly would be fine going either route of what you guys took. That's tough, man. I'm going to go with Surratt here. Just because Philly's in a situation where I think they could take some risk and bet on some upside rather than just betting on a safer pick. Because right now, like I mentioned, we're looking at Philly's depth chart. They don't have a dog. They don't have that guy where you're putting on the game tape. You're like, look at this guy. There's not that one guy on that tape. I think if you accumulate a guy like Rondale Moore, he could be a dog. He could be a top receiver in the NFL if remain healthy. Like Dante mentioned, he was a receiver one in the summertime for a reason. This guy's not a scrub. He got him at 37. I mean, that's phenomenal value. So when you're a team like Philly, I don't mind taking risk right here. A guy like Dylan Moses as well, maybe not necessarily a guy. It was going to be a guy that was going to be maybe a late round one dude if he even entered last year in the 2020 draft. So getting him in the third round I thought was phenomenal value as well. It's risky because these picks could, you know, they cannot work out. These guys could get hurt and then they could be done. But I like the risk that Saray took. I mean, when I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, you need to take some risks. This is a draft where I need to get some guys in. I need to get some guys in where I look on tape. I'm like, I'm scared of this guy. We have to prepare for this guy. And I thought the guys that Saray drafted, I think they have the potential to be those guys where defensive coordinators are worrying about Rondale Moore all night. Or, you know, Dylan Moses, maybe he's one of those guys on defense where offensive coordinators are trying to game plan. How do we not get the ball around Dylan Moses? It's a risk, but I'm interested. I'm more intrigued by Saray's draft, but Dante, I mean, phenomenal draft as well. I mean, Chaz Surratt, 85 was phenomenal value. Getting receiver, I thought you should have maybe prioritized that position a little bit earlier because how bad the depth chart is right now. I mean, Jalen Reagor's wide receiver one, then who's number two? Greg Ward, Travis Fulgham. I mean, I love Travis Fulgham, former Lion, but I mean, I think it was a position that needed to be prioritized a little earlier, especially with getting a rookie quarterback at number 6. So I'm going to choose Surratt here.
That's fair. I think one thing I want to talk about real quick about the Eagles, looking at spottrack.com, they're currently $40 million of dead cap on the books, and they have negative $50 million of cap space.
$33 million of that came from Carson, right?
Something like that. So $40 million of dead cap and you're negative $50 million over. So the Eagles, like Tyler said, they they are, I don't know if they're going to be good for a minute. So this might be a long-term rebuild in Philadelphia, something to consider. I think keeping that cap number in mind is interesting when drafting. And I think Saray did do a good job. So I'm okay losing that one. That was a good one. I'm all right with that one.
I think the only thing I'm looking at Philly is like the front four. I think it's still a pretty solid front four. You got Brandon Graham, still a very good football player. Derek Barnett, a solid guy across from him. Javon Hargrave was really good for them last year. Fletcher Cox is still a dog. So that's why I kind of liked Saray's draft a little bit more. I forgot to mention this, is where you took Asante Samuel, who has potential to be a corner one, but we mentioned this Colts scheme. They don't necessarily need the best corners out there. So Saray still addressed the corner position, but if you got a front four and a front seven who can get to the quarterback, you can get away with solid corners or even mediocre corners. And that's where I kind of like Saray's approach a little bit more. But yeah, I'm with Dante here. This is going to be, I think, a long rebuild for the Philadelphia Eagles, especially with that dead cap like we mentioned, and just the depth chart in general just not being that sexy. And just a lot of holes on this team right now. But with that being said, let's switch off to another topic. We got to talk about free agency coming up now, which Philadelphia Eagles don't look like they'll be spending that much money in this free agency, like we mentioned with all that dead cap. So we're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers, which they're in this window right now where they have a 38-year-old quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and they're kind of in this window right now where they're contending right now, obviously. They're for sure contenders in the NFC to make a Super Bowl run, but how long is this window? So we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about Aaron Jones and should they keep or should they let Aaron Jones walk? Who am I even debating on this one? Because I don't even remember who I'm debating.
Does the birthday boy want it or does he want me to take it?
I'll take it, I guess. I'll take it.
All right. All right. Yeah.
Saray could be going 2 for 2 today.
Yeah, Saray's going big or go home. We love that.
Okay. He could have went home with this, you know, his W.
Yeah. And then, he's saying, I'm going for the sweep today.
Okay. All right. So,
I guess, Tyler, you want to start since this was your debate, and I'm assuming you're going to advocate for paying a running back, and I know Saray is not a fan of that. So
I'm not necessarily on the boat where I think the Packers should go all in for Aaron Jones, and I'm not necessarily going on the boat where I think they will do this because they did draft a running back in the second round last year, A.J. Dillon, and he was a guy that didn't really play throughout much of the season because he had the COVID issue. I believe he missed like 4 to 5 weeks with that COVID issue. He actually got hit with COVID pretty bad, one of the more severe cases in the NFL. But towards the end of the year, I remember watching like the Tennessee game when they played on Sunday Night Football. It was like that snowy game in Green Bay, and they relied on him more because, you know, he's the big bruiser back, and they went with him in that game. So I think going forward, it would make sense that the Packers would just let Aaron Jones walk, and then maybe they just rely on A.J. Dillon. But I'm going to bring a different perspective in saying why maybe they should keep Aaron Jones or at least consider keeping Aaron Jones, even with the price tag that he will probably command. It's going to be one of the higher price tags for a running back. And like we mentioned, paying running backs are sus, and it's an interesting decision. But when you have a window like the Green Bay Packers and you got a quarterback who's on the later end of the 30s, who's still playing very high ball, good ball, I think it's something you got to consider still having a running back that is proven and a good running back that is proven for the system. I mean, Aaron Jones was a luxury for this Green Bay Packers team. You look at the Green Bay Packers team in general, yeah, they have some holes. I think you still need another corner to replace Kevin King, you know, maybe some new linebackers. So you have some holes there. But I think maybe instead of addressing those holes and creating another hole with letting a running back go, because I think if you let Aaron Jones walk, and Jamal Williams is also a free agent as well, but we're just going to keep on Aaron Jones for now. But if you let Aaron Jones walk, then you're relying on your run game strictly just on A.J. Dillon, which is a risk because he was okay in the proven snaps in the limited snaps that we saw him. But I think it is a bit of a risk when you have a window like the Packers and you have a window of winning right now. So I think paying Aaron Jones is a luxury to the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers, with the team they have, with the quarterback they have, I think having a luxury would be very nice for Aaron Rodgers and that offense in general. So I think keeping Aaron Jones could be something I would watch out for the Packers. I'm not necessarily, like I said, advocating that the Packers should do this because they did draft a running back in the second round last year. But I think it could do some wonders if you could have a luxury to Aaron Rodgers, you know, have a running game for a quarterback who is 38 years old, who is still playing good ball. But at that age, at a quarterback, I still think it could be a luxury. And, you know, just figure out all your other holes throughout free agency, throughout the draft, because look at the Packers, think they need another receiver. Thing they need another corner, like I mentioned, another linebacker. So I try to keep my team with as much limited holes as I can and get as much proven as I can get. And I think Aaron Jones brings that. So I'm going to bring a different perspective on why I think maybe the Packers should consider keeping around Aaron Jones.
Okay. Before I hear Saray's counter argument, what is like, you don't have to give me the specific number, but like, how much are you willing to pay Aaron Jones? Like, where is that? Because I think that's an important point to establish, because it doesn't seem like either of you are going to argue that he should be like a top three running back contract in the NFL. So like, what is the number where you're comfortable paying Aaron Jones and keeping him on the team?
I think anywhere from like 8 to 10 million maximum would be my cap for paying Aaron Jones. I think if the Packers could get him at that price tag per year, maybe on a 3 or 4 year deal, I think it'd be worth it for the window that they have right now. So nothing more. And I think around 8 to 10 would be fair for Jones.
All right. So we'll use 10 as the number. We'll use the high number because I think he'll probably get more than that at the end of the day. So Saray, your counter argument for why the Packers should just let Aaron Jones walk, roll with who they got and go from there.
8 to 10 million a year for Aaron Jones is a steal. Spotrac has his average annual salary market value at $14.6 million. That puts him as the third highest paid running back in the league in terms of
like, let's split the difference. We'll go with $12 million a year.
I think I'd be fine with paying Aaron Jones 12. I said 10 maybe is the cap, but I think 12 would be my, okay. 12 is fine.
All right, we'll split the difference. That's fair. So $12 million. Why are the Packers not bringing back Aaron Jones, Saray?
It's tough to say no to that, but geez, man, that's hard. This is what the Packers do, though. He was a fifth round pick out of UTEP. Right. So they take these players in the later rounds when they don't need them yet. Right. I mean, the running back position is a little different, but like you can use the Jordan Love argument as a good argument. They didn't need Jordan Love. Right. You still have Rodgers playing at an MVP level at like, what, 38 years old. Right. They could have won another year, not had a quarterback, you know, waiting to be the starter. They took A.J. Dillon in the second round for a reason. This is what they do. He's 27 years old, right? Jamal Williams is a free agent. Jamal Williams can be significantly cheaper, not to mention a supremely talented running back class this year. You mean tell me Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, one of those guys may not be available when the Packers are picking later on, second or third round, but you can find another back in here to be in the fold who can – do what Aaron Jones did, maybe not at that high level, but it could just be running back by committee. It works for the Patriots. It works for the Chargers did a little bit this year. It teams run it and it works. So like it's paying running backs when, man, I don't know. I'd rather just draft a guy and he'd be cheaper. Like A.J. Dillon was a second round pick. I didn't even like the A.J. Dillon pick because at the time we were thinking, okay, Aaron Jones is here, but now it makes sense, right? He's 27 years old. There's probably one running back I'd be fine paying big money to, and that was Christian McCaffrey just because so much he does to the NFL. I'm not comparing like Jones to McCaffrey because that's stupid, but you got to let him walk, man. And I think the team has bigger needs. If you want to get to the Super Bowl with Rodgers and you know, his last few years of his contract, you got to find a corner. If you're going to spend money in free agency, go spend that on a corner. Maybe go trade for Stephon Gilmore. Maybe take a chance on Patrick Peterson. I'd rather go that route than pay on a running back. Maybe spend some money in free agency on a wide receiver, which is something that they should really do. Or draft one for once. They don't do that either. So, I don't know, man. I love Aaron Jones. I think he's a good player. I really would like to see him in Miami, if we're being honest, depending on what the price tag would be. If the price tag was 8 to 10 million, then Miami could go do that, yeah. But for 14 mil a year, it ain't happening. I don't think the Packers paying 14 million a year. I personally ain't paying him 14 million. That's a lot of money for a 27-year-old running back who has been really, really good, and he's been healthy. He's played what I think Spotrac had his like percentage snaps last year, like 95% or something like this. He's always on the field, but there's too many examples of you pay a running back all this money and then what happens? He flops, he's hurt, he's injured, it didn't work out. Then you got to try to find a way to get out of the deal. You can use a Todd Gurley example. You can kind of use the Ezekiel Elliott example. He hasn't been the same player since he got his contract. I'm saying no. You drafted Dillon in the second round for a reason. You got to justify that pick somehow.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I want to bring up one thing I think the Packers definitely have to do. And you brought him up, and he'd be significantly cheaper, that the Packers need to keep at least one of the two, of Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones. It has to happen. I mean, you have to get a guy that's been proven in the system and has worked in the system. So Jamal Williams would be a way lower price tag. I thought Aaron Jones would be a way more interesting debate. So I wasn't going to debate about should the Packers keep Jamal Williams or not, because that's just not a topic that you guys want to hear about for 15, 20 minutes. So I agree to a certain degree that the Packers need to keep one of the two. And the only reason why I'm arguing why I think they should maybe potentially keep a guy like Aaron Jones, just because it doesn't create a bigger hole. Or, and then, you know, you, when you go to the draft, you already have that position filled. Then you could address other positions, like you mentioned, another wide receiver, another corner, linebackers. Because the front four is pretty solid over there already. So, you know, Packers have some holes. Not, I wouldn't say necessarily a lot of holes, but they have some holes if they want to complete this team to, you know, building a Super Bowl team. But when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers and a guy like Devontae Adams, those holes could, you know, be very minimal when you got guys like that. So,
do you view Jamal Williams as a starting running back? I think he could be a starting running back for the Packers.
I think, he, like you mentioned in the committee, like San Francisco 49ers backfield type deal, I think that could work. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I think him and AJ Dillon would be fine together. But yeah, I think if it's like a Niners situation where he's not taking, like, I don't think he's Aaron Jones where he could take 95% of the snaps, or like he's on the field 95% of the time. I don't think he could do that. But is he a guy who could, you know, take 15 snaps a game or 15 carries a game? Oh, yeah, definitely.
The Packers are currently 25th in terms of available cap space that they're going to have also. So that's something to throw
yeah.
in there.
No, yeah, I know. That's tough. And like we mentioned, they still have some holes to fill in. So it is a difficult situation for the Packers here.
Yeah, I think Aaron Jones is tough because he is the epitome of the phrase running backs don't matter, in that he was selected in the fifth round out of a small school and was brought along after 4 years, and he's good, right? And there is a fair argument to be made that the Packers offensive line is one of the better ones in the NFL, and they could have helped Aaron Jones be good. And I don't want to take anything away from Aaron Jones because I do think he's a good running back, but this is tough. It's tough for me to get on board with paying a player who, I mean, just embodies everything about running backs not mattering, right? Like, they drafted Aaron Jones in the fifth round, and here we are in his contract year, and he's got 2 1,000-yard seasons. You know, he ran for 16 touchdowns 2 years ago. He had 9 this past season. Definitely a productive player, good in the passing game. But, and then you look at the Packers roster, and I think this is kind of what sold me on it. I was kind of leaning towards giving it to Tyler just because the money thing was there. But, like, you guys brought up Jamal Williams, and it's like, yeah, like, they could pay him like $5 million a year. They have AJ Dillon in the building already. And it's like, well, you know, there you go. You got two solid backs, a really good offensive line, a good quarterback. And it just doesn't make sense. Now, look, if Jones wants to come back for like $10 million a year or $8 million a year, like Tyler was talking about, because I don't know, it's Green Bay. Maybe he really likes it there. Maybe he thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, and that's his best shot to do that. Yeah, great. Draw up the contract. That's fine. But anything over that, I'm just not particularly interested. And by the way, that goes for Miami as well. I do not want to pay Aaron Jones a significant sum of money. I will be, you know, we can come on the podcast and listen to me cry if that happens. We can do another free agency episode.
Mutual agreement between the two. There,
I know. I know.
You wouldn't pay Aaron Jones $8 million if he was to take $8 million for, like, you know, $8 million
for 3 4 years. If he was to take $8 million. Yeah.
What about 10? Too high? That's too high.
No. Let's go with our cap. That's 12 million. Let's say.
No, I'm not paying Aaron Jones.
I'm not paying him 12 million if I'm Miami.
No, not a chance. I got two guys. The Dolphins, another team, right? I got Myles Gaskin and Salvin Ahmed. They're not very good, but, like, they both had some pretty good games this past season. You know, like, they had a couple games where they ran for more than 100 yards. Like, we get the offensive line cooking. Like, I don't know, man. I don't want to pay Aaron Jones that much money, especially if we invest up front. I think the Packers are in a similar spot. And even, like, more to Miami, I mean, I think A.J. Dillon, you know, he had some moments last year. Wasn't a huge fan of his tape. Wasn't a huge fan of that pick. But he looked okay last year. And then I think you bring, you know, Jamal Williams back on a shorter-term deal for less money. And, you know, maybe you spend another day three pick on a running back. You know, maybe you draft, you know, Jarrett Patterson on day three out of Buffalo, or Javion Hawkins out of Louisville. You know, he brings a little bit more speed to the table if that's your cup of tea. Like, I just think that they're, you know, and the Packers are in a spot, man, where, like, I don't know if they really need, like, Aaron Jones did. He had a good year and he's a good player, but, like, he ran for like 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns. Like, those are good numbers. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like he was some all world running back, you know, this past season. Like, again, good football player. I don't want to make it sound like I'm bashing on Aaron Jones. I think he's very good, but, you know, it's not like he was this, you know, all world Christian McCaffrey, you know, rookie Saquon Barkley type player where, like, you know, he just had like you know, a crazy amount of yards, crazy amount of touchdowns. He's good. He's solid. And look, if the Packers bring him back, I would understand it. I don't think it would be a good idea. I think maybe they try and franchise tag him. Maybe you get him for one more year.
More expensive, though.
It would be more expensive, but I think the commitment is more or less where I have the problem with running back contracts. I don't mind if I'm the Packers, right? I don't mind paying a guy a lot of money over 1 year because I'm in a Super Bowl window. My problem is if I give him a big 4 or 5 year deal and my window closes quickly, right? If I'm the Packers, say Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I don't think he's going to retire, but say he does, right? Like say he retires after next season. He says, you know, I'm 40 years old. I don't want to do this anymore. Blah, blah, blah. I want to retire and hang out with Shane Woodley or whatever, the girl he just married. So like, you know, like, who knows? He could say that. And like, you know, the Packers and then what? The biggest cap hit on your books is Aaron Jones and you got Jordan Love at quarter. Like, I don't know, man. Like that. So franchise tagging him for me would be a better option just because I can get out of that deal in 1 year if it doesn't work out, if my window collapses. But for Aaron Jones, man, that's tough. I think Tyler made a good argument. I do want to say that, but I'm going to have to stick with Saray here, which actually ties him with me. For the lead, so I'm doing myself a disservice here. I'm just saying that's my birthday present to you.
Thank you. What about Kenyon Drake? Right, somebody like that. Spotrick has this like his market value like what $8 million a year? So that's what they said, a 2-year, $16 million deal. Like I'm prefer to do some again. This is a committee type thing. He would fit the Green Bay system very well. Good receiver in terms of running back. But like, dude, anything cheaper than paying somebody 12 to 14 mil a year at the running back position.
I think something to mention as well, and we're talking about this very good offensive line. We got to mention, though, I don't know if you guys saw this, that their best offensive lineman is reportedly supposed to be potentially parting ways with them this offseason. That's Corey Linsley.
Yeah, I mean, future Miami Dolphin. Yeah, just saying.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, we talk about maybe the offensive line helped out Aaron Jones, and maybe they helped out Jamal Williams and AJ Dillon as well in those limited snaps. But is, you know, maybe you get a guy like Aaron Jones. You know, he's proven. You know, he's been there before. But I would definitely agree. I think keeping Corey Linsley is a lot more important than keeping Aaron Jones. I think we're all in the same agreement as that. But I mean, I think it's something you mentioned that. That best offensive line could be without their best offensive lineman, which they do have a very good offensive line still, I think, even without Corey Linsley, but definitely not the same dominant offensive line that we're talking about. Maybe it's probably still a top 10 offensive line, I think, undoubtedly, though. So, you know, I wouldn't look too deep into it. But losing Corey Linsley is definitely significant if that ends up happening for the Packers.
Yeah, I agree. I do. I think their best offensive lineman is Elkton Jenkins.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
He can play both. Like they just didn't pay David Bakhtiari $100 million.
Well, he tore his Achilles too, so he might be out for a little bit.
Yeah,
the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he got hurt. I was talking about the healthy guys. Bakhtiari is very good as well. Bakhtiari's good.
He's very good. I just can't stand him. His hands in the face. If you guys don't know, I'm talking from Monday Night Football.
Oh my God, you gotta let it go. Let it go, Tyler.
And I'm not gonna let go of Aaron Rodgers chugging a beer at a Bucks game, and my boy Matthew Stafford killing him in a contest at the bar.
Yeah, that wasn't chugging. That was more like babysitting. I don't know really what you want to call that.
it was disgusting.
That's the biggest win Detroit's had over Green Bay in a long time. So I think you should hold on to that one if I were you.
Well, that's rough. We beat them in Lambeau in 2015 after breaking a 25-year streak.
It's 2021, man.
We beat them in 2018. We beat them 31-0. I mean, we did concuss Aaron Rodgers in week 17, but we did beat them.
Good Lord. I think that's a wrap on this show. We're wrapping up.
I mean, this is like your guys' Jets or Saray. Do you even have you guys are Chargers fans? Who's your most hated team?
The Broncos. I can't stand the Broncos.
Really?
That sounds like one of the worst. What do you call it? Rivalries I've ever heard of. Chargers Broncos.
Okay, this is the thing. I don't like any teams in the AFC West, obviously, right? But like, I don't want the Chiefs. Like, I don't like the Chiefs. But like, Mahomes is incredibly fun to watch. Like, we can all agree that. It's like you may not like the Packers, but you can agree Rodgers is really fun to watch because you're a Lions fan. Like, I get it. But
he's good. He's a good player. Is he fun to watch?
He's not fun to watch because you don't like the Packers.
He dominates us every game. He's not fun to watch.
Oh my God. Okay. Derek Carr, I don't like. I don't the Raiders yet. I don't like the Raiders, but I really have a hate for the Broncos. Like, it is something that's going to be in me for my entire life. I can't stand them. I hope they suck every year. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers has just ruined my childhood. It's just like
the same way Dante doesn't like Brady and the Patriots. I probably feel the same way about the Broncos.
Yeah, Patriots ruined my childhood, man.
There you go.
Every year,
ridiculous. Packers every year, and then the Bears are the Bears. I just cannot stand those. I can't stand the Bears. I can't stand their fan base. I mean, I don't care that I'm calling shots to the Bears fan base right now. I cannot stand your fan base. I can't stand your team. I hate the Bears. So, Bears, Packers. No goes for me. But with that being said, I think that is a wrap to this episode of Inside the War Room on the Sports Street. I can't even do this properly. Let me just redo this. Thank you guys so much for all listening to this episode of Inside the War Room on Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Network. If you guys enjoyed this episode, besides our Packers and Bears fans, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or any podcast network you guys are listening to. Disaster end to this episode, but it's okay. Screw the Packers, screw the Bears, and that's a wrap. Guys, peace.